We're getting excited because Memorial Day weekend is upon us. And we just got the latest projections from AAA. We are hitting potentially record-setting numbers for travelers on the roads, in the air, and many other forms of transportation. So for the very latest, we've got Alex Slatke back on the show with us just in time ahead of the holiday weekend. Hey, Alec, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, and it's going to be a good weekend.
I guess so. Are you going anywhere? You staying local or...
Going to my my in-laws in New Jersey, so
all right, not too bad.
I'm one of the nearly 44 million people traveling 50 miles or more.
Yeah, I mean, and I did go through this whole report. You're part of the nearly 39 million who are getting in the car to go where they need to go. So let's talk about some of the record-breaking numbers AAA has released ahead of this weekend. It looks like, for the first time, unless I'm reading this incorrectly, are we beating pre-pandemic numbers?
We are beating pre-pandemic numbers, which is very exciting. We got the most ever travelers on the road, second most trips that we've tracked in terms of air travel since we began tracking at the beginning of the century. So, last year was a strong year, but this year is going to be, even stronger and getting back to beating those 2019 levels.
So I'm curious why you think that is.
I think it continues to be people put off the trips for a couple years during the pandemic, and there's still a bit of a backlog in getting to them. So, all the trips that people had canceled, postponed, bucket list trips, people realizing new things that they want to do or just really wanting to spend time with friends and family. I think it just continues to increase. And we've seen the trends in travel, they were really going up before the pandemic. And I think it's taken a couple of years, but it's going to continue to increase from here.
So let's talk and break down some of these numbers that you're seeing here. Road trips, no real surprise here. Expected to set a record, though, this year with close to 39 million people traveling by car. That's pretty unbelievable. Let's talk about, if you don't mind, Alec, when did AAA start tracking these numbers?
We started tracking, I guess, almost 25 years ago. I think the first forecast was 2000. So,
wow.
Hey, we got a lot more. A lot more Americans, a lot more cars on the road. So, we continue to see more and more vehicle miles traveled throughout the country. So it's no surprise that the roads are going to be crowded this weekend.
So let's also discuss that a little bit. Are people going, like you're saying, to see family? Do we have any idea destination-wise? When we're talking about road trips, let's break down even like New Englanders. How many can we sort of expect in our listening area and sort of throughout the Northeast, I'll say?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of New England, we're projecting about 2 million people are going to be traveling, and the vast majority are going to be on the roads just like everywhere else. And I think the destinations that we're seeing as the top destinations, this is what we can tell from our booking data, right? So we're looking at Orlando and New York City and Vegas and LA. So a lot of those more, typical tourist destinations. I don't think any of those are a surprise. We're actually seeing a lot of interest in Alaska cruising for this coming weekend and for the summer overall.
I saw Alaska on there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, we got Seattle and Anchorage and Vancouver are some of our top destinations for that reason. And, I mean, all great cities in their own right. You don't need to take a cruise. But I think locally there's certainly a lot of folks, whether they're heading to the Cape or heading up north to Vermont or New Hampshire or Maine or just sticking around the state, but maybe trying to go to a park a day or two, maybe going to a beach. I think hopefully, we always look for the weather, and hopefully the weather holds out. I know, it looks like it's going to be a good weekend, at least for Saturday and Sunday. So I'm hoping that remains true.
So again, we have Alex Latke here from AAA, and we're talking about the upcoming Memorial Day weekend, and it sounds like we are breaking a record. We are seeing a 4% increase compared to last year's travel numbers, and we are exceeding pre-pandemic levels for the first time. And so what could you suggest for people, Alec? I want to first start with the drivers, obviously, which I'm sure the most obvious is pack the patients, but then also talk about air, because I do know, according to your reports, airports are certainly bracing for a spike in travelers, almost a 5% increase over last year, 9% jump compared to pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, I mean, if you're driving, I think, you know, The best thing that you can do in terms of saving time is to try to find that sweet spot when you'll be able to hit the road and you won't be, you know, either mixed in with the other travelers or the commuters. And so if you're leaving Thursday or Friday, that's probably meaning, you know, leave after the morning rush, but, you know, late morning. So maybe leave at, you know, 11 a.m. or something like that, or later at night. If you're leaving on Saturday, that's probably your best bet if you want to leave Saturday morning. But again, you know, it's always the trade-off of, hey, I could save maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours on the road, but then I miss out on a day of enjoying my destination. And for me, I'd rather take the hit and be stuck in traffic for a little bit than miss out on a day at the destination. But that's that's to each his or her own, for sure. And if you're going to be flying, I mean, again, the best thing to do is get there early. And, you know, I know this is personal preference for how close people like to cut it at the airport. But for me, I'd always rather, you know, sit in the airport, bring a book, have a drink, you know, grab a bite, and get there an hour earlier and be relaxed and make sure that I'm able to get through the security lines that I can sit through any traffic getting to the airport, rather than, you know, feeling stressed about possibly missing the flight. That's what we recommend. But of course, you know, some folks are gamblers, hopefully they can enjoy that lifestyle too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And again, we are looking ahead to Memorial Day weekend and some of the travel trends. And I will say, if you go to the AAA website, do they have the access to this presser? Alec, I asked that because I think there's some really great information, like the best and worst times to travel by car and just some really great stuff that people can check before they go to, you know, go out to wherever they're going for Memorial Day weekend. Is this available on your website?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to newsroom.AAA.com to check it out. And I think the other important information that I didn't even include necessarily is if you're heading out on a road trip, give your car a little bit of TLC before you head out, because we're projecting to see, you know, hundreds of thousands of people this Memorial Day weekend. We're going to service across the country, and whether that's flat tire or they locked their keys out of their car or they ran out of gas, you know, we'll be here. That's our job, but we'd rather not have to save you while you're stranded on the road. So, you know, check your tire pressure and make sure your tires are in good condition. Make sure you're not gambling when it comes to, you know, emptying the gas tank. Make sure you're filling up, especially if you're driving into an area where the exits are 15 miles apart, 20 miles apart. That's definitely something you don't want to take a chance on. So make sure you keep your car in the condition that it needs to be. So hopefully we don't have to help you this weekend.
That's a really good point. And Alec, really quick before we go to traffic and weather, when can we expect the bulk of the traveling to happen? Is it probably going to be Friday and Monday, or when do you expect kind of the heaviest traffic?
Yeah, I think it's usually Thursday evening and Friday evening. I think a lot of folks, you know, they say, oh, everyone's going to be traveling Friday, so let me get ahead of it and let me leave Thursday. Well, Thursday, you're still in the PM commute rush. So Thursday and Friday during the PM commute is really when it's going to be worse, probably. And then coming back, you know, usually Sunday and Monday evening is is when it's toughest on the road.
May is Older Americans Month, which is a great opportunity for families with older drivers to talk about safe driving and help make sure that loved ones can stay active and mobile as they age and that they are equipped to stay behind the wheel. So AAA has really highlighted this, and Alex Latke is here. So I wanted to kind of talk about some of the resources available for people who are interested in taking the help of AAA and discussing this with loved ones. Alec, I know research has really shown that while older drivers are not so much our risky drivers, like the ones who are going to be drinking and driving per se or speeding, when they get up in age, they are certainly more vulnerable, especially in a crash, for example. So what are some resources that are available through AAA? What are some suggestions you would make to people who have older relatives or older friends, neighbors, and they want to make sure that they are safe behind the wheel?
Yeah, I mean, the tough thing about this is that the best time to have this conversation with an older relative is when it isn't necessary, right? It's like preventative medicine. You want to treat it before the problem arises so that the problem is less likely to happen. And, you know, there's more older drivers on the road nationally. There's 51 million drivers who are 65 and up in Connecticut. There's, you know, nearly 600,000 drivers 65 and up. And many of them, maybe even most of them, are perfectly safe drivers. You can drive absolutely safely and well at 65, 75, 85, 90. There's nothing that says that you can't. But of course, you know, there is some natural decline in some functions when you're older, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you just have to make sure that folks are prepared for how they might want to adjust their driving, maybe not driving at night, maybe not making unprotected left turns, maybe, you know, trying to go where there's a turn signal or make three right turns instead of an unprotected left, maybe needing to make sure that, you know, they have the right prescription of eyeglasses. Those are all things that it's better to talk about before you need to notice a few dings on a car or someone gets lost when they're driving. So we've got a senior mobility planning toolkit that we offer folks, but the bottom line is to try to have this conversation as respectfully and as early as possible, not to ambush people, not to trick people, but to have a conversation in a productive way.
I also think, Alec, I love that you say, you know, to have this kind of conversation preventatively. I know both my parents, in my mind, are really still, in my mind, very young. They're both in their 60s. But, you know, it was interesting. We had this conversation actually over the weekend. We were up at a birthday party. My son has a very good friend who lives in Rhode Island. And so I took the drive with my mom and my son. And when we were there, right about 5 o'clock, I said, you know, we're gonna head home. And my mom looked at me and thought, really? Like, you know, the party started at 1. Why are we going home? And I said, we'll talk about it in the car. And then, you know, Chase is like, Mom, I'm still in a good mood. Why are we going home? And I said, we'll talk about it in the car. And we get in the car and both of them are like, why are we going home? I said, because, guys, I'm afraid of wrong way drivers. And I don't even trust myself in a wrong way driver situation. Like if somebody was coming towards us the wrong direction, I can't trust that I can keep the both of you or myself safe in a wrong way driver situation. And it was one of those moments where my mom immediately said to me, is this why you don't like when I drive at night? And I said, yeah. I said, because wrong way drivers are usually like the most, that they're usually impaired and they're usually causing destruction in the overnight hours. And so I said, it's not so much that I'm knocking your age, Mom. It's because I want to protect you. And so I think when you have these open conversations and like you said, you're not starting when Mom turns 80, you know, my mom's 65, but these are conversations that we start to have just to show that, hey, like I don't even fully, you know, feel comfortable at 33 driving at night, let alone I don't want you driving at night. So I think it's like the preventative, like you were saying, and to do it earlier than to wait until, you know, you're up in age, so now we're going to talk about it, right? I mean, there's that like respect factor there, but also just very transparent. And you know, I just think having the conversation more consistently, if you will.
100%. I'm sure anyone that you talk to, they probably have someone where either they've had this conversation and it's probably been difficult, or maybe they haven't been having the conversation and they've been putting it off and thinking about it, but it's just too tough of a subject to broach. And
it is. It's horrible. And you're in a horrible situation. Yeah. It's so uncomfortable. I know my mom went through it with my grandmother who lived with us. It was horrible. It was just very uncomfortable to say we need to take your license away. It's awful. But, both parties, I can understand it being very sensitive. So I think your advice of kind of starting sooner, having it more consistently, doing more like check-ins versus, hey, we've reached an age, now we have to address it, I think is probably the better route to go. I do know AAA, though, you do have like refresher courses, though, for senior drivers, correct? Don't you guys offer things like that?
Yes, we do. And you can take those, whether it's in person or online, or if you're a senior community or a library and you want maybe just even a quick 1 hour presentation, we offer those as well. So, you could always feel free to reach out to me. My email is aslackey@AAANortheast.com, and we're happy to set something like that up. And, really just I think getting those reminders is a good thing for everyone. So we're certainly not picking on senior drivers. We definitely don't want to do that. Everyone should really get refreshed on what the rules of the road are.
I agree. I mean, when you look at the list of things that you should be like checking on, for example, I actually said to my listeners yesterday, this is something that I don't care what age you are, reviewing new technologies. I got a car that had the backup camera when I was 28 years old. It took me months to figure that out. I think new technology in cars, monitoring your health. I mean, young people are actually worse about monitoring their health than older people are. So I think there are so many things in here where, wearing your seatbelt, checking the updated laws and legislation of your state to make sure you're following the rules of the road. That's any age. And I agree with you. I think, sometimes we hyper focus on one age group, but really it is something to be looked at across the board. So, Alec, I want to thank you so much. And thanks for offering your email as well for people who have inquiries. And we will talk in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Again, Alec Slatke here on WICC.